As a plus-size woman, where do you go for stylish, sustainable clothing that flatters and complements your body? It's probably a short list, right? Well, your options are about to expand with plus-size fashion newcomer Sante Grace. Owner and designer Tracy Christian is all about dressing for who you are and what size you are right now, not after Spanx and not 10 pounds from now. So today, we're talking about how that ideology informs her design process and her top tips for you if you're looking to elevate your wardrobe. By the way, Sante Grace is actually my November Black-owned business of the month, so if you want to check them out, make sure you use the special discount code that I dropped in the show notes to save 15%. I also included Tracy's links for Sante Grace and all of her socials, so head to the show notes for more information. And now, let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome to the Tribe Culture Life podcast, where our stories and our lives matter. I'm your host, Brittany Montgomery, and I invite you to listen in a few times a month as I chat about issues that we as members of the Black and POC communities face every day. I'll be sharing stories and perspectives that matter to you, from raising children to relationships, entrepreneurship, and traveling, and all aspects in between. If any of those topics interest you, you are definitely my tribe, and you are definitely in the right place. So, Tracy, first of all, thank you for agreeing to chat with me today. I first want to start with, tell me a little bit about your inspiration for running Sante Grace. I know you run your business simultaneously with working as a successful talent agent, which I think is really, really cool. Multiple hustles and all that. So tell me a little bit about the inspiration to start your business, your second business.
So, I mean, it was really simply like, I couldn't find any clothes that I liked to fit. You know, I found myself more and more going to, you know, I had this one seamstress and designing my own clothes and having them made. You know, I couldn't walk into a mall and no matter how much money I had, find the perfect leather jacket, find, you know, a blouse that I saw in Vogue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so when you can't find what you want, you create your own. And that's really how Sante Grace came to be.
And I think you speak to a really good point with the lack of diversity in the fashion world still, I think, and especially still with the higher quality options. And so, of course, you're breaking barriers as a designer of color and then as a designer of plus sized options. So tell me about how that experience has been so far. And has it been difficult bringing your vision to life?
You know, what's really interesting, I was blessed in so many ways. Like, I'm not the best sewer and I can't sketch. So what I have to do to communicate my designs is, you know, I used to collect a lot of vintage. So I might bring a Vivienne Westwood jacket to my production manager and say, but do the cuffs like this and the collar like this and the blah, blah, blah. And I, you know, I know the proper names of things, but it's not, you know, like I'm a pattern maker myself. So there was that complication. I started during the pandemic and we all know about the supply, how the supply chain was really damaged during the pandemic. Yeah. You know, we're out of quarantine and that ship still hasn't been righted. That's number two. And then number three was, I didn't know that pattern makers and sewers and cutters and, you know, everyone in the manufacturing process, very few were educated about a plus size body. So just imagine that people are going to fit them to Parsons and spending, you know, I don't want to say hundreds of thousands of dollars, but definitely close to, you know, I think well over $100,000, learning everything that they can in a, you know, kind of institutional setting about making clothes and the history of fashion and graduating and still not being able to make a plus size pattern. Like that's ridiculous, right? It's not as if somebody who's over a size 12 is new to us, right? You know, We've all heard the statistics in the United States. I think it's something like 75 or 80% of women here are a size 16 or larger. So it's crazy. I mean, there's just no other, it's a size prejudice, you know, I forget the word for it. Like, it's like body racism, you know, that the industry just refuses, never mind to cater to us, but to serve us. And as you said earlier in the conversation, if you're a woman, a plus size woman, and you're willing to entertain fast fashion, there's a lot of things out there for you, but not a lot of quality. If you're someone who just says, hey, I'm a size 22 and I want a silk dress, like, that is, you might as well be saying, you know, I want Brad Pitt to, you know, be making pancakes and, you know, wait on me hand and foot. It just doesn't exist. You know, there's a handful of people who do it. And I thought my designs could offer something a little bit different. So we're right in that niche between, we're definitely not fast fashion, but we're also not, you know, St. John with a $3,000 suit, or, you know, 11 on Array with an $800 caftan. We're, you know, right in the middle there.
Yeah. When I, so when I first came across your site, it kind of occurred to me, the words I was thinking was like affordable luxury. So, you know, really high quality fabrics, you know, sustainability, slow fashion, but something that, like, you don't feel guilty about buying it. Like, if you have kids or you have like a lot of other stuff going on, you don't feel guilty about having to spend like a ton of money.
That's exactly where I wanted to hit. And that was exactly my thought, you know, I feel like the price point is very reasonable for the value that you get. And I really believe in kind of amortizing the wares on your, you know, your clothes. Like, one of the reasons, there's a lot of reasons that the Louis Vuitton Never Full is $1,200, a lot of reasons. But one of the main reasons is it's a quality bag. You know, you can use it for 10 years. Like, how many times do you use that bag in a 10-year period? And then even after 10 years with, perhaps it has ink stains, or, you know, the strap might have popped, you can still resell it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why that bag makes sense. And I wanted the same type of governance for my clothes.
Got you. And so we spoke a little bit about it the other day. I wanted to chat about that a little bit more. Your experience kind of with the idea of creating clothing that flatters versus clothing that just fits, which I think is another thing that's kind of hard for curvier and plus size women to find. Like, we all can put on a pair of jeans and you're like, this'll do. But you're really committed to designing styles that actually flatter and make us feel good. So can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, that came from my experience of crying in dressing rooms all over the country. You know, there's something about, you know, I think every woman has the experience, if you go in the store and you see, you know, it's almost like dating, right? You see across the crowded racks, you see a dress or a pair of pants, you look for it. It's in your size. You go into the dressing room, you put it on. And when it, never mind fits, right? As you said, when it flatters, for me, I would always like do a little dance in the dressing room. I'd be like, she's cute, right? And I wanted women to have that experience, because when you're plus, so often it's not in my size, you know, or it says it's my size and then I go in the fitting room and it doesn't fit, or it fits, but it's like kind of blah. And I'm figuring out how I take this in, or is there a seam where I can let this out, or I'll wear something loose over the top, so it doesn't, you know, my muffin roll doesn't show. And I want none of that with my clothes. And I feel like what our clients are experiencing, and if the feedback is any result of that, that people are surprised that, oh, okay, I didn't know I was a one. Usually I have to buy a 3X. Oh my gosh, this feels really good. Oh my gosh, it looks really great. Mm-hmm. Oh, I laundered it and it's wearing even better, you know, because when you're a size four, you get to have that experience, right? I feel like the fun of shopping. And a lot of manufacturers have robbed plus size women of that experience, and we wanted to bring it back.
Yeah, I love hearing about, I had no idea when you were speaking earlier about like designers and pattern makers and things, even when they're taught, you know, going back to like when they're in school, they are not taught really a lot about plus size bodies. So I loved hearing about kind of how you've almost created like a blueprint, like you've had to kind of recreate the wheel in order to, you know, bring your vision to life. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, it's really miraculous. It's a huge problem. There's a huge prejudice. Even like you'll go to a pattern maker and they make some outsize. I'm trying to make a blouse that's a 4X or a 5X. Mm-hmm. And literally they will hand me something that looks like King Kong could wear it. Mm-hmm. Like if you are a conscious human being, you hold it up and you're like, okay, I've seen fat women. And I'm not sure what a 5X is, but guess what? A 5X is not this, right? Like a 5X is not, you know, three people could fit into it. And then when you say to them, like, come on, when you cut this, when you sewed this, you knew this couldn't be right. And they'll complain. Well, you know, they'll complain about having to service this market.
Wow, that's insane. And it's crazy because I used to have a boutique a couple of years back, and I wanted to carry, you know, like quote unquote straight size and plus size. And it was always so frustrating trying to do the plus size because it always felt like it was either, like you said, the 5X, you know, King Kong kind of just crazy, ridiculous amount of fabric, or it was like skin tight, you know, I think skin tight definitely has its place, but I think it was just basically like, you know, a copy of a size small pattern. They didn't make any allowances. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. They don't think like, oh, my shoulders, you know, when I gain weight, don't do, you know, this, I don't become King Kong overnight. It's crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah. And so for a lot of folks, I think what we know of like fashion designers we see on social media or in the movies, for me, I always think of that movie, The Parent Trap. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's like a scene where the mom, because she's like a wedding dress designer. And so she gets a call in the middle of the day and they have to go to the studio and like cue the montage of the mom and the daughter and the model. They're like trying on dresses. So I would love to hear from a real life, you know, outside of the movies designer, how does a typical day go for you?
I wish you could see, well, now with COVID, I don't know what's typical, but I wish you could see my dining room table. It looks, you know, an explosion of paper, stamps, and hair conditioner. But a typical day is, like how I juggle, you know, the various businesses, but basically, you know, I design, you know, I always pull ideas from fashion shows, magazines, or whatever, things that I've always wanted in my life. And I try to design not just items, but a cohesive collection that's telling a story. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that originates from what do I have to do in my life? So you're very right. Like what's a typical day? So like right now I'm wearing, this is a silk habitat caftan. And that came about because, you know, I live in Los Angeles. We have a lot of very hot days. Right. Like today is 97 degrees. And I wanted something really stylish that would be fast and that you could dress up and dress down, right? So, and I travel a great deal. So I'm always looking for things that are multifunctional. And, you know, if you look in Getty Images, you might find, you know, pictures of me I went to Negril this year, but, you know, literally lying on a beach in Negril with one of our hats on and this caftan, pictures of me running through, you know, LAX to catch my flight with me in the caftan, a summer wedding, me in the caftan, grocery shopping, me in the caftan, and then me doing interviews, me in the caftan, right? Because I know how to put it with some gold earrings, accessories, sunglasses, a belt, and instantly it's a silk dress. I know how to, like, you know, silk is natural fiber, obviously. So it's both an insulator as well as breathing really well. So it's something that I can wear 97 degrees and not be sweating like a pig. And then when it gets cold in LA and gets down to 45, I have my silk joggers that I put underneath them and I still wear the caftan. So a lot of things were just based on like what I needed in my life. You know, I needed an Oscar dress. I needed a this or that. I don't need a wardrobe of ponchos and stretch jeans or, you know, leisure wear, which is a lot of what fast fashion is trying to convince plus size women to wear right now.
This episode of Tribe Culture Life is brought to you by my 2021 Black-owned business gift guide. There are over 35 creative and thoughtful gifts for everyone from your mom and dad to your partner, your kids, and even your kids' teachers. Get the full guide at alldaybrittany.com. Don't worry, it's pinned to the very top, so you'll see it right away. Or check out the show notes for the direct link. And now let's get back to the show. Yeah, I think it's interesting with the fast fashion thing because I think, and I know we discussed this a little bit earlier too, I feel like with plus size ladies, sometimes it's harder to find. Like if you're a small or a medium, you can easily find a dress, easily find a pair of jeans, easily find whatever, whatever. But the cuts are sometimes off, the dimensions are off. It's just, it's harder. And I feel like as you kind of go through, you know, that fashion evolution, we all start to kind of up our game a little bit as far as like quality and what you want to spend and kind of, you know, what you're looking for. Definitely.
What you want to say, like, what's your personality, right?
Oh yeah.
Look, I think shopping for everyone is hard. Everybody has their own battles when you walk into a store.
Yeah.
Right. So first of all, fashion does not generally make women feel better. It's a battle for us all. And every magazine, well, historically, every magazine is telling you you're not perfect the way you are. You need to gain weight, lose weight, bust line isn't big enough, you're too light, too dark, whatever. So when you look at men's magazines, you never see like, you know, three ways to trim your waist, you know, like unless it's a workout magazine or to look slimmer or to whatever. And every women's magazine is about you don't look good enough, right? Like we are littered with antioxidant, anti-aging, coloring your hair, all of that. Like it's ridiculous. Then when you add to it, if you're bigger, they just think that you should stay, like you shouldn't even be out on the street. Like, you know, why do fat girls need dating clothes? Why do fat girls need brunch clothes? Why do you need, you know, well-constructed out of great textiles clothes for work? Clearly you're fat, you're not going to get the promotion.
Mm.
It's almost like that's what the message is. And if you are one of those women out there who's got your sights set on the, you know, executive, you know, level or the, what a job paying $200,000, $300,000 a year, are you shopping at ASOS?
Probably not.
Right. Where do we send that girl?
Yeah.
What does she wear? When you want to be seductive, where are you shopping? What's sexy? What's a sexy fat girl brand? We have sex, right? But there's nobody catering to that. You know, this last year, I started seeing a lot of size inclusive swimsuits. It was great because mm-hmm. when I grew up, you know, clearly we didn't swim. Or if you did swim, it was a one-piece swimsuit and it was like some kind of like figure altering thing where it was really uncomfortable to get in. And, you know, it was all about hiding yourself. Mm-hmm. And what I definitely have learned as a bigger person is, you know, wear black if you like it. But if you're size 24, you just look like a size 24 in black. You don't look any smaller. So be who you want to be, like whatever the fantasy goal of what you want to look like, who you want to be, what's your state, what statement you want to make, do that. We only have one life. So you see a lot of our clothes are in kind of radical, I feel like very punk rock colors. I mean, I think our line is sexy without being vulgar and very design inspired, you know, because I'll look at Balmain and I'll think like, okay, what's the real world application of that dress, right? Like, I can wear that Balmain gown to the Oscars, but for the average woman, how do we reinterpret that? And then how do we reinterpret that for someone who might have, you know, size 55 hips? And that's what I want to do.
I love that. Fashion to make you feel good. I really love that. I guess I never really even thought about that, how, you know, a lot of the messaging, I feel like they're trying, you know, the fashion magazines and like advertisements and things, everyone's trying to jump on the body positivity and all of that. But I guess I never really thought about how so much of that messaging is, well, how to improve, as if you're not, I mean, you know, you're great just the way you are. So I love how your focus is on, you know, you're beautiful, you're perfect, let's dress your body the way it is and make you look fabulous.
Let's have you look great today. Not after 5 pounds, not after you wear Spanx. Today, that's what's fun. I want to have you put on the clothes, look at yourself in the mirror, and do the dance.
I love it. And I also love that I saw on your website that you are passionate about paying your contractors a living wage, which is it's so weird that that's still like such a radical and controversial idea, even though we seem to have this conversation a lot, especially last year. You know, a lot of minimum wage workers were like, I'm out. This is not working for me. You know, with between the virus and the crazies, it was just too much. So tell me a little bit more about why it was important to you to make sure your contractors and the people that you work with are compensated fairly.
Okay, so the majority of people in the supply chain or the manufacturing chain are people of color and a lot of women. And sometimes people who have come to this country and they may not have documentation or they're in the process of getting documentation or they don't speak the language or what have you. But many times with all of that, incredibly skilled artisans, like incredibly, when I say incredibly skilled and well-educated in their own home country. And because they have this kind of marginalized existence, it makes them fair game to be exploited. And I think to myself, like, you know, I have the benefit of, I was born in the United States, I have a college education, blah, blah, blah. But I remember when I was new to Los Angeles and you're looking for a job and, you know, being a student or just needing any kind of gig and people taking advantage of you doesn't feel good, makes it hard to live. And to me, when you live in the United States and you have all the blessings that we have in this country, if someone shows up and they give you 40 hours of real live work, there should be no reason under those circumstances that that person can't feed themselves. Mm-hmm. And the minimum wage, I think here is maybe $15 an hour, or it will soon be $15 an hour. Like a single adult cannot, or it'd be very difficult to survive in Los Angeles at $15 an hour. Yeah. If you have a child, you know, or a loved one who needs care, what do you do? Because this is not a person, we're not saying that this person is unwilling to work. We're not even saying that this person is uneducated or unskilled. So why are they starving to death? And you have a lot of, you know, people at these factories who are, you know, they're the working poor. It's two families living in a, you know, one or two bedroom apartment. Everybody, it's insane. It's insane. And that's like, it's bad for my industry and it's bad for my country, right? That creates like a brain drain in the United States. What I want is, you know, if you are skilled labor and you're doing the job, you should have the ability to achieve the American dream. Work hard, save your money, be able to buy a house, be able to feed and clothe your kids. That should be in everyone's grasp. And as small business owners, we have to take responsibility for making that happen. Like in my A job, one of the things that encourages me, or the thing I'm kind of proud of about my company, is I love when somebody, you know, comes in and maybe they're an fit, and then they become, you know, a coordinator and then an agent. And I'm watching them go from having roommates to having their own apartment to buying their condo to getting married, having kids, and buying a house. That feels good and it's great for our tax base. So we should afford that opportunity to everyone who's willing to do the work.
I love that. I love that. That's beautiful. And so taking a little bit of a right turn, I know we spoke earlier about how well received so far Sante Grace has been. I know you've heard a lot of great feedback and it's kind of been featured all over. So I've got to wonder, I feel like that must be on some level kind of gives you, gives you the push, like it makes you feel like, okay, I'm on the right track, I'm doing the right thing. How has that experience been so far with the reception?
That's interesting. We've been very fortunate, very blessed with a lot of coverage. But girl, I'm your overachiever, your consummate overachiever. I was that girl in class. If I got an A, I wanted the A plus. So to me, it doesn't really feel like we've penetrated in the way that I have envisioned. You know, we're starting to be carried in different stores in California, and then, you know, knock wood, hopefully nationwide and then globally. But we still have a lot of work to do. And really, Sante Grace is, you know, me. I have a lot of people who help, you know, bring the brand and the vision to life, but it's just me. So I'm not going to stop until you see Sante Grace in Vogue and Marie Claire regularly.
Yes.
Right. And until, you know, every woman, every man in this country knows that we are here and that we're a viable alternative. So.
Love it. And so for plus size babes who are listening right now and they're ready to kind of update their wardrobes for fall and winter, what are some key things to look out for quality plus size options, like, you know, fabrics, maybe construction, certain trends? What are your thoughts on that?
Everything that you just said to me except trends. So
understandable.
Right. Like if you want a trendy object, great, you know, go out and get what you like. You know, for me, particularly like the way, you know, I put my wardrobe together every season, I might, you know, buy one or two trendy things, but I really try to buy things that I will love for years, you know, like the motorcycle jacket. The reason, like I will go out and have a motorcycle jacket made for $1,500 because I know I'm going to wear that motorcycle jacket for the next 25 years. So ultimately it's worth the cost. So I encourage women to think along those lines, you know, think about like, you're not buying that Birkin and then just, you know, you won't wear it after, use it after a year, you're going to use it forever. And the other thing is, clothes aren't special, you are. So don't buy something and put it in your closet and then it's for special occasions. You know what a special occasion is? Monday. You know, get up and dress. Don't save your perfume, wear it, right? Like pretend every day is a special day. If we've learned nothing from COVID, let's learn that. So I look at construction a lot. I look at the quality of fabrics. I look at my clothes as friends, and how is that friend treating me? Does it feel good against my skin? Does it launder well? How does it fall? Does it flatter? Those are all important things. And one of the reasons that we like to use natural textiles and sustainable fabrics is nothing falls better on your body than those natural textiles.
Oh yeah.
So if someone is looking to like, oh, what do I buy from Santé Grace? I would say there's two things straight off. So we have a pussy bow that's made from silk chiffon. Get a pussy bow. And our black silk charmeuse, or any, you don't have to get black, but you know, our silk charmeuse joggers. Because those damn things, I live in those. They're comfortable enough that like you can use them as pajamas, and literally you can go to the Oscars in them. They're fancy enough and they have pockets and they're silk charmeuse. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, they're like a heavy, so they're great silk charmeuse. The other thing is we have a two-piece like kind of French terry set that comes in a lot of different colors called Something the Lord Made. And I would say get that, because that is another thing that you can dress up and down. Like I literally made that to wear to Jimmy Iovine's house. So
awesome. Well, Tracy, thank you so much. This has been such a fun interview. So yeah, this was great. Thank you again.
I apologize for being so long-winded. Usually I speak in sound bites, but today, I don't know.
Oh no, you were awesome. This was, oh my gosh, this was so much fun. Thank you. You had such yeah. great nuggets. I really appreciate you making time for me, because this is really cool.
No, and thank you so much. Thank you for doing the research and being willing to sit down with me. It means a lot.
Well, thank you again. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you, Brittany.
All right. Bye. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you're new here, join our tribe and hit that subscribe button. And be sure to come and find me on Instagram at itsbrittany24 and tell me what you thought of this week's episode. I value your opinions and your feedback, so feel free to leave a comment or shoot me a DM and let me know your thoughts. Until next time.